From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 10 and verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The Christian should never think or speak lightly of unbelief. For a child of God to mistrust His love, His truth, His faithfulness, must be greatly displeasing to Him. How can we ever grieve Him by doubting His upholding grace? Christian, it is contrary to every promise of God's precious word that thou shouldst ever be forgotten or left to perish. If it could be so, how could he be true who has said, Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I never forget thee. What were the value of that promise? The mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Where were the truth of Christ's words, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Where were the doctrines of grace? They would be all disproved if one child of God should perish. Where were the veracity of God, His honor, His power, His grace, His covenant, His oath, if any of those for whom Christ has died and who have put their trust in Him should nevertheless be cast away? Banish those unbelieving fears which so dishonor God. Arise, shake thyself from the dust, and put on thy beautiful garments. Remember, it is sinful to doubt His word, wherein He has promised thee that thou shalt never perish. Let the eternal life within thee express itself in confident rejoicing. The gospel bears my spirit up. A faithful and unchanging God lays the foundation for my hope in oaths and promises and blood.
Atonement by my Lord was made. stands by storms unshaken. Redemption's author the foundation laid. By faith my stand on his righteousness I've taken. He will not fail, I shall.
Thomas Martin grew up under the influence of a drunken father. He participated in the violence and bloodshed of Northern Ireland in the 1970s and was imprisoned in the Maze, the most notorious prison in the country. Yet, by the grace of God and the influence of caring loved ones, this young man's life was transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thorough was the change that Thomas Martin became a powerful preacher, whose testimony and ministry have seen many men and women brought to new life in Christ. Thomas Martin's story of the miracle of God's saving grace has been set down in a book entitled Out of the Maze, written by Noel Davidson. Let the Bible Speak is happy to make copies of this encouraging and heartwarming book available free of charge. For your copy of Out of the Maze, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of Out of the Maze, and we'll be happy to provide it. But don't delay. There are only a few copies left. On today's broadcast, Dr. Alan Cairns will bring the next portion of a message entitled The Faithfulness of God, taking chapter 9 and verse 6 through 13 as his text in these studies in the Epistle to the Romans. Although the Jews of Paul's day believed that their relationship to Abraham guaranteed their entrance into heaven, Paul states that God's covenant applied to the children of promise. God was faithful to the promise he made to Abraham that in his seed, that is, Christ, all nations of the earth would be blessed. As Dr. Cairns will show, no one gets into heaven because of any physical relationship or through any religious ritual, no matter how sincere. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, The Faithfulness of God.
I want you to see that for Paul, the purpose of grace and talking about election and predestination and all those things went hand in hand with a burning, blazing passion for souls. I would to God that everybody who ever wrote on God's eternal predestination wrote out of a heart that was filled with heaviness and sorrow and wrote with eyes that were blinded by tears with a passion for the dying souls of men and women. These two things in Paul's heart always go together, God's purpose of grace and Paul's passion for precious souls. His passion was a gospel passion. And the heart of that gospel was, the end of verse 5, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Let me give you a little hint. If ever you're looking at a so-called modern translation, and I say so-called because some are translations, some are perversions, some are paraphrases, but if you're ever looking at what purports to be a translation of the New Testament, this is one of the key verses to turn up. And you'll find that there are many that would turn this statement into a benediction. Christ came, period. May God, who is over all, be blessed forever. I'm not going to get into the technicalities of that. I think that Charles Hodge was absolutely right when he made the point that translationally that is improper, it is unallowable, and what we have before us is the only possible representation in English of the Greek text. This is one of the great statements concerning the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ came. Who is he? He is over all. Who is he? He is God, blessed forever. That is the very heart of the gospel. And you know, that is the very essence of God's mercy. Think of that statement. You see, there is a logical progression here with Paul. Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Don't let those words just roll off the end of your tongue. Don't just read them quickly. Think of it. Let it come. He who is over all, the King of angels, the King of devils. He who is over all, the sovereign of all creation. He who is eternally God, God blessed forever. He came in the flesh into this world. That is the very first part of gospel doctrine. That's the first point of fundamental New Testament biblical truth. Without that, there is nothing else to say. Never forget that. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, great is the mystery of godliness. What's the very first particular? God was manifested in the flesh. And this is what Paul is saying here. This is the very heart of the gospel. This is the very heartbeat of God's mercy. And when you understand what I'm saying, Paul would argue that God overall came in this flesh. For anybody after that to criticize God or the gospel is both foolish and utterly wicked. So from verse 6, Paul launches out into his great theodicy. A theodicy being a vindication of God in his character and in his dealings. He launches out into this great theodicy. And I want us to look at part of it tonight, and in the will of God, come back to it again next Sabbath evening. The subject is simply in defense of God and his gospel. And tonight we're focusing on verses 6 to 13, where Paul defends the faithfulness of God. And in one sentence, the argument here is that the rejection of many Jews does not indicate any failure, either in the promise or the purpose of God. That's what Paul is setting out in these verses to prove. God is faithful. You see, the objection was, Paul, look at these chosen Jews, and you're saying God has given many of them up to destruction. Where's the faithfulness of God? Look at all those things that are said in the Old Testament. Where's the faithfulness of God? Where's the promise of God? God is unfaithful according to your doctrine. Paul says, no, sir, neither in his promise or his purpose does he fail. Now, obviously, you'll see from what I've said that in strict context, Paul is refuting objections concerning God's dealings with Israel. That is something to keep always in mind. But while he's dealing with God's dealings with Israel particularly, in fact, what he says has a very much wider application, and it leads us to some fundamental Christian doctrine. His basic point really is this, and I will summarize these opening verses from 6 onwards very quickly. What he's saying is that God's promise belongs to the children of promise. For they only are the children of God. Now that should be simple enough to understand. The promise of God belongs to the people that God gave it to. Doesn't that make sense? That's a simple proposition, but it's one that they were overlooking. It belongs to the children of promise. Second, being a child of promise was never guaranteed by the mere fact of being a descendant of Abraham. That came as quite a shock to many Jewish people. Simply being a child of Abraham, says Paul, does not make a man a child of the promise. The children of the flesh. Abraham had children of the flesh. He says they were not the children of promise. They were not the children of God. And then he comes to the big conclusion that being a child of the promise depends ultimately on the sovereign electing grace of God. So follow Paul's argument. The promise belongs to the children of promise. Being a descendant of Abraham is not enough to constitute you a child of the promise. What puts you into that covenant is the sovereign choosing grace of God. Now, in establishing these points, Paul was teaching things that the Jews didn't want to hear, but you know, the Gentiles don't want to hear them either. And there are many Christians who don't want to hear them. I must say that always amazes me. I thought that the mark of a Christian was to come to the Bible with an open mind and open heart and say, speak, Lord, I'm willing for whatever you say, and I believe anything that God says. Paul is saying things here that the mind of man naturally hates. First of all, he's making it clear there's no such thing as universalism. There is something, especially in our day, that has taken root in the mind of man. We live in what purports to be an egalitarian society. So God must not be a God of sovereign choosing. Why? Because we say so. That's the thinking of the day. It's impossible for God to let any man perish. The dignity of the human being is such that God Almighty cannot allow any man to perish. Ultimately, there must be a universal application of salvation to every man, woman, and child who ever lived. That's the thinking of the human mind. But Paul is making it clear there is no universalism in Scripture. And oh, let me make this very clear to you tonight. If you are one of those dark and foolish people who's going down the broad road to a lost eternity, and you're trudging that road to hell with the vain hope that somehow, someday, it will be all right, because God is a God of love and He could never allow one of His creatures to perish. If you're doing that, man, stop dead in your tracks. For whatever you believe, it's not according to the word and to the testimony, it's the devil's lie. And I tell you, there's no universalism in the Bible. There's nobody preached more seriously, more urgently, more warningly, and more threateningly of hell than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In fact, He more than anybody in all of the Bible, He more than anybody preached about hell. 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 Christ was warning men with an insistence that they could not quench. Why? Because, like His apostle, He taught no universalism. You've got to be prepared to meet God. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. There is a glory to be enjoyed. There is a burning lake of fire to be endured. There is no universalism in God's Word. Paul went further and he made it clear that no ritualism of any kind can make a man right with God. The Jews had wonderful ritual. Actually, it was even Bible-based ritual. And Paul looked at it all. At this time, the temple was still standing. The blood of the sacrifices was still flowing. The high priest was doing his work. There was the constant offering up of incense. The Jews were ritualistic still. And Paul was telling them that there's no ritual that can ever rightly relate you to God. And there's no religious affiliation that can do so either. Now the Jews found that difficult to stomach, but so did Gentiles today. The Jews found it utterly obnoxious. They could believe that perhaps the heathen might perish. In fact, they believed the heathen would perish. But all Jews would be saved. Their writings give examples of their opinions. I'll give you a couple. All Israelites have a share in the world to come. All Israelites. Then again, no Israelite who's circumcised will go down to Gehenna. What our New Testament calls Gehenna, or hell. No Israelite who is circumcised will go down to hell. It's impossible. That was the opinion. But Paul registers a resounding no. And listen to what he says at the end of verse 6. They are not all Israel who are of Israel. Verse 7. Neither because they're the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. What Paul is saying is that the fact that some Jews perish, therefore, does not in any way invalidate the promise of God or overthrow His purpose. The promise was never given to children of the flesh. The promise was given to the children of God, the children of promise. Now he argues, history proves that. From verse 7, verse 8, through to verse 11. In fact, really through to the end of our reading. He's saying, look at it. History proves this. God chose Isaac and rejected Ishmael. Now, they were both. They were equally the seed of Abraham. Ishmael was as much Abraham's son as Isaac was. In fact, he was his firstborn son. But God did not choose Ishmael. He did choose Isaac. And then he says, come down a generation. Isaac marries Rebekah. Rebekah is giving birth to twins. Now we have two boys, and they have the same father and the same mother. But God chose Jacob, and God rejected Esau. Now Paul is saying, history proves this fact of my basic contention that simply being a child of Abraham after the flesh doesn't make you a child of promise. There is the sovereign choice of God involved here. And you see, to Paul, there was no way around this. And he never tried to get a way around it. You'll see clearly here, Paul does not try to dress this up. He does not try to make it palatable to man. He does not try to explain it to man. He doesn't get into the philosophy of it. He simply states the gospel fact of it. God chose Isaac, and God chose Jacob. And he did not choose Ishmael, and he did not choose Esau.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.